How virtual reality helped surgeons on two different continents separate conjoined twins. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Marielle Segarra. In Brazil, in June, surgeons separated a set of three-year-old conjoined twins named Arthur and Bernardo Lima. When the twins were born, they were attached at the head, their brains intertwined. Separating them would require dozens of complicated surgeries. To prepare, the twins' doctors in Brazil used 3D-printed models of the kids' brains, and they practiced the surgeries in virtual reality, using goggles and controllers, while connected to another medical team in London that had done this before. Noor Al-Awais Jalani is a pediatric neurosurgeon at London's Great Ormond Street Hospital. His team led the VR training, and then he flew to Brazil to be one of the lead surgeons on the case.
When you discuss these operations, you really do need to be able to say, okay, if we turn the two brains sort of 30 degrees in this direction, then we can approach this blood vessel from this orientation. And then once we've done that, then you need to unturn them by 15 degrees. To explain that just using words is near impossible. So what we managed to do with Brazil was invite them to join us in our VR theater and then use your visualization tools we've just spoken about and talk about some of the critical steps of the surgery. So that was a first, and that was quite reassuring for everybody involved.
You're probably used to, as a surgeon, holding certain tools and like it becomes muscle memory, I'm sure, like how to make certain movements with your hands. But if you have controllers, that's a different kind of movement that you're doing, right?
You're absolutely right. I remember the first time I used the controllers, it did take, 10 minutes or so to just get the hang of it. But I think, maybe as surgeons, we have the skills to be able to sort of hand-eye coordination works well. After about 10 minutes, it was fine. I felt fairly comfortable using it. And the team in Brazil, again, once they got the hang of it, they were able to do it.
Were you all also like practicing with the regular tools as a supplement?
Oh, yeah.
This did not substitute any of our regular sort of sessions. So the 3D models were made in London. The 3D models were made in Brazil. So we were still sort of had our Zoom conversations with the 3D models in our hand. So all of that happened. VR was additional to everything else.
And it sounds like it gave you visualization into something that you wouldn't have had otherwise.
It did. No, I think that's a definite yes. For virtual reality, to be able to see those two brains and how they twist around each other, the various sort of crevices, to be able to see all the blood vessels and how they sort of course between the two brains and around the two brains. It's very difficult, near impossible, to see it on 2D structures, on 2D screens, and then make a high fidelity 3D model in your head. Particularly as surgeons, I'm used to dealing with one brain, one set of blood vessels, one head at a time. So my brain is almost programmed to do one. And now when you put two in it at the same time, it's almost like, your computer starts to malfunction because you're just, it's getting two feeds at the same time. It's a bit like that. So the craniopagus nest makes it really complicated to just do the 3D visualization in our heads, which we would do for our other cases. But the 3D models help with that, and the virtual reality helps with that as well.
What do you think will come next in terms of virtual reality and surgical care?
Yeah, so, I get asked the question, do I think that virtual reality in time will be good enough? Could I have done this surgery whilst I was in London and the surgery happened in Rio? Well, in 2022, no. But is it possible that we'll be doing something like this in the next 5 to 10 years? I think the answer is yes. There is still quite a lot of R&D we need to do, but there is a lot of work that's happening in this field, and I think certainly in the next 10 years, but maybe even before that, we'll be in a position where we'll feel comfortable enough to guide surgeries like this from a distance.
Noor Al-Awais Jalani is a pediatric neurosurgeon at London's Great Ormond Street Hospital. And now for some related links. We'll have pictures of those 3D-printed models of the twins' brains on our website, marketplacetech.org, as well as pictures of the twins themselves. Dr. Jelani is part of the nonprofit group Gemini Untwined. Its mission is to give medical teams around the world the skills and knowledge they need to do these surgeries on craniopagus twins. That's the name for twins joined at the head. According to the group, 1 in 60,000 births results in conjoined twins, and 5% of those are craniopagus twins. When we talked, Dr. Jelani also pointed out there are things VR still can't do. Like, he can hold onto a model of a brain in VR, turn it over and around, but he can't press down on it with a medical spatula and see it react the way that a human brain would. He said the twins are doing well, by the way. Arthur should be ready to leave the hospital soon, and Bernardo within a few weeks. I'm Mary Elsegarra, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.